Veteran Podcast. Thank you for your service.
Welcome back, everybody. Man, it is great to be with you for another edition of Bulletproof Veteran Podcast. Now, you might be saying to yourself, Jason, where the hell have you been? Well, I was lucky enough to be one of the people that got COVID recently. So I was a little out of commission, wasn't too bad, but obviously had to move some interviews around and cancel some things and kind of took me out of the loop for a couple weeks there while I was kind of rebounding and then getting back into the swing of things and recording and all of that kind of fun stuff. So I do apologize. I hope you took the opportunity to go back into our catalog and take a look at some of the past episodes that are out there. Maybe go back to episode one, grab that PT belt and get ready. But we're back now. I'm really back, and I'm loving it because I got some great stuff lined up for everybody, and it's going to be a cool time of year. I hope that everybody's getting prepared for the Suffolk County Veteran Run Series, which is going to be kicking up here just in a short few months. It's just such an amazing series here on Long Island. All the races, all the people that are just trying to do great things for the veteran community. And it's a great reason to get out there and train a little bit, especially this time of year. It's cold outside. Maybe you don't want to go running. But if you know you have a race coming up and you really want to do well, that may be the motivation to get out there and do it. I know for me, I have to have like some type of a goal or a challenge that I'm working to. It's just the way my brain works. If I know I have a Tough Mudder coming up, I'll work out, harder than I ever, did. If I know I have a run coming up, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to do my 3-4 miles, boom, 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 and get ready for it. Whereas if I don't have those challenges and I don't have those kind of goals set for myself, it's real easy to sit my ass down on that couch and watch a new HBO show. By the way, the newest one I'm into, Raised by Wolves, out of nowhere found that one. Didn't realize that Ridley Scott did it. Very alien-ish, sci-fi. Check it out. I'm a fan. I've been watching it. I'm a season two. Very good show. So, sidebar there. Apologize. But again, get over to the Suffolk County Veteran Run Series website or the Instagram or all that. See all the races that will be coming up. Again, they don't kick off until May, but you want to get ready for them. You don't want to be caught off guard. You don't want May 1st is going to roll around before you know it, and you don't want to be 2 weeks out huffing and puffing, running down your block with the race literally right around the corner. So train now, get ready for those, and join us in all of these amazing kind of local charities that are giving back and doing great things, all right? We've had many of them on the show. I'm going to continue to have these different people on the show to talk about the Run Series because it's something that I'm very passionate about. The people that actually started the Run Series, I'm hoping to have them on to talk about it before this year kicks off so that you guys have some background where all of this kind of started and how these people put this together. I think it's 9 races total now throughout the year that are a part of this. So it's huge. It's great. All right, what else do we have? Got some new shirts in the Amazon store. You can head over to Amazon.com, search for Bulletproof Veteran. We have our new logo that's out there. There's a couple new designs. And then I've been working on some cheesy fun stuff. A lot of it is inside jokes from when I was in the military. Some people might get them, some people might not. But I wanted to design the shirts and put them out there, so why the hell not? And if you guys like them, pick them up. It's a great way to support the show if you're trying to do that in some type of financial way. As always, the best way to support the show is to share, like, comment, follow on the websites. Not so much the websites, but the different podcast providers, YouTube, all of that. You can head over to our website, bulletproofveteran.com. All our information is over there. You can listen to past episodes. You can also see some of the shirts that are on there. I do my best to keep it updated. I am a one-man show, so sometimes that gets lagged behind a little bit, but I do try. It's a great way to contact us. There's a contact form there. You guys have been doing great as far as contacting the show and providing new guests and the next interviews. I can't thank you enough. It's amazing. I get an email, all of a sudden I'm paired up with a new person, and we got another great interview. So it kind of just feeds into itself and it keeps the show going. So thank you for everybody that does that. We're really in the planning stages for a lot of cool stuff this year. I'm going to do a show to talk about some of the things that we're going to try to do this year. We had some great success with our run that we did last year, our 5K. And I want to kind of build off of that and maybe do some more fun stuff. There's some things in the works for possibly doing some type of a range day here on Long Island where we'll get some veterans together, go out, do some shooting at the range, maybe do some barbecuing or something like that, have a couple different vendors there, something like that, and, you know, basically just have a fun day where everybody can kind of get together and, you know, have a good day at the range, eat some good food, and maybe meet some new people. So that's definitely in the works as well. And then again, another race, raising money for, you know, a new charity. We'll be picking that one out. So more to come on all of that. Let me see. Do I have anything else that we have to hit before we kind of get rolling? We have a great interview for you this week. This week, we have on the show, it's going to be Ryan from American Tattoo Society. And they have the distinguished honor of being the only tattoo artists that are actually allowed to tattoo on military bases. So this one's going to be a lot of fun. So like I said, he goes into everything about, you know, just tattoos. He goes into, you know, aftercare, what you should bring when you're talking to an artist. And then obviously everything that they're doing to provide quality tattoos for military members on base so that you don't end up looking like me, who just went out to the first tattoo place he found off base, gave them $40 and said, tattoo me. By the way, not a good look. Don't do that. Don't be me. All right. Before we get to the interview, we do have our veteran-owned and operated business of the week. And man, do we have a good one for you this week. We have Combat Flags. May have heard of them, okay? They are very, let's say, oriented and driven to end veteran suicide. So a lot of the money that they raise through their products goes to that effect of ending veteran suicide. And that's kind of why I picked them for this week, because again, I love to highlight businesses that aren't just all about the almighty dollar, that they want to give back to the community and support the people that, you know, help them come up and through. And that's what Combat Flags is doing. Basically what they do is they take fatigues, they take military uniforms, and they create flags. So they have different types, 3x5 camo flags. They have different apparel, hats, stickers, decals, all this stuff. Any way that you want to display one of their, I call them works of arts, because they're awesome. They're beautiful pieces that they take the fabric from uniforms and make these different items. So if you want to fly a flag that's very unique, this is the place that you want to go. And they donate, like I said, from every purchase goes to Stop Soldier Suicide, and basically, you know, supporting the people that they came up with. Again, veteran-owned and operated, giving back. It's 100% American-made, so you know that the products are going to be just an amazing way. You can also donate there. They've given more than $100,000 to Stop Soldier Suicide. So the proof is in the pudding, folks. This is an amazing organization. Like I said, you can check out everything that they have over at combatflags.com. All right? Please, just go in and look at some of the different things that they have made with uniforms, and you will be blown away. Head over to their Instagram. They're always posting stuff. They have stories behind some of the uniforms that they've used to make products, some of like the one-offs when they were supporting Save Our Allies. They made some one-off stuff, I think, with Tim Kennedy and some of his old uniforms. They've done some really cool stuff. So again, combatflags.com. But go over, check out the Instagram, because I got a lot of stuff over there as well. So you're going to want to check that out and want to purchase something. And like I said, if you don't want to purchase something, maybe you want to donate to them and keep their kind of mission going of combating veteran suicide. All right. I think that's it. I think that's all we got. for, you know, the interview. And I hope you guys love this interview because Ryan is an awesome dude. And he's, you know, listen, we get to talk tattoos. It's a good day. So without further ado, let's get to this week's interview. All right, everybody, welcome back to Bulletproof Veteran Podcast. We got an interesting one for you today, folks. We're going to be talking all things tattoos. And let's be honest, if you spent any time in the military, I can almost guarantee you have a tattoo. I know I have my fair share. They're covered at this moment in time, but my tattoos spanned all the way from a little bit before basic training all the way up until the week I was actually separating when I was in Italy. That was my last tattoo. I got it right as I was getting out. I actually had to take care of it as I was kind of transitioning back to New York. But today on the show, we're honored about this one because this is unique. We have Ryan Harrell. He is the founder of American Tattoo Society. All right. And what is so unique about this organization is they are currently the only tattoo shop that is actually allowed on military installations. Like I don't remember any tattoo parlors ever being on a military installation, but this organization has already got a place on Nellis, Bragg. You're not on Bragg, right? You do a convention at Bragg?
Right. We do one right outside of Bragg. We will be going there, but just take some time.
Take some time. I know you're down in Keesler right now working on opening that guy up. You got a lot going on. So, like I said, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm just really stoked to talk to you.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate you guys having us on.
Yeah. And like I said, it's a unique situation because I think for most military members and veterans, tattoos are a big part of our culture. You know, from the tatted out guys, special forces, YouTube dudes, and all that kind of stuff, to just the average, you know, guy did his service, wanted to get a Navy tattoo, an anchor, or something from, you know, Marines or something like that. I think everybody spends a lot of time with a bunch of people, guys and girls, that go out and get tattoos. Mine, maybe a little bit of alcohol might have been involved in some of my decision making, but we won't get into all of that. Stay away from that, folks, by the way. So I'm excited to have you on. But before we get into everything that you got going on, how did you guys start with the tattoo shop?
So my wife actually started apprenticing to Pierce when she was still in high school.
Wow.
And going to college. So she went to college, became a teacher. And when she was 10 years into teaching, you know, on and off during the summer, she had been working at a shop, actually a shop that we own now, you know, piercing, working the counter stuff. And that shop became open, available for her to purchase. So she cashed in the 401k and went all in on the studio. And I came along about a year later after she opened it up in 2014. I was doing marketing consulting and I did design, graphic design and social media stuff. So when I came along to talk to her, I had some grand ideas. She had some ideas and we kind of, you know, we linked up and changed the name to American Tattoo Society and started to brand. And really that's when things kind of took off when the two of us came together. So.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that's a ballsy move for her. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not guaranteed success to open up a tattoo or piercing shop. I mean, that's going to be a grind every day. So I got to give it to your lady there that, I mean, it takes some brass ones to just jump out and say, I'm going to cash the 401k in and open up a piercing and tattoo place.
Yeah, that's it. It was right outside of Fort Bragg on Yadkin Road. That's still our main studio. It's over 7,000 square feet. We have 17 artists there, three piercers, permanent makeup artists. I mean, it stays pretty busy. So that was, I have friends my good friend Chop on the Chop in Hope Mills, right outside of Fayetteville. So I'd kind of been around, but I hadn't been in the industry like that. So it was definitely different coming from marketing and advertising, going into another creative space. That's just, it's creative, but it's a completely different culture, you know? So, but we absolutely love it. I mean, we love the clients. We grew up, we were born and raised outside of Fort Bragg, Fayetteville. So we're just used to it.
Mm-hmm.
We even go outside of Fayetteville and you're like, oh, this is how it is not around Fort Bragg, you know? So you get kind of desensitized to all the tattoos and whatnot, and you leave and you're like, wow, you know, we really do have a lot of tattooed folks in Fayetteville and around every base. So, it's a cool experience, definitely getting involved in and expanding. So,
yeah. And you, I mean, like I said, being outside of Bragg, you already kind of had a little bit of a feeder economy right there where guys are going to be going out on the weekend looking for tattoos. You know, it's going to happen. You know, I don't know what it is about tattoos and the military. I mean, you can look back in the history, you look back World War II, the tattoos that they did, Vietnam when it took off, you know, a lot of the very cool artistry from, you know, some of the more tropical theme stuff, some of the, you know, the nose art that ended up on people's arms and legs and things like that. And then just the basic patriotic flags, all of that, you know. My dad, he, you know, Vietnam era, has my mom's name, you know, so something as simple as that. But the military just goes for it. You know, it seems like we're just drawn to it.
Definitely. I think if you look at all the hotspots for tattooing, I mean, in California and, you know, the Virginia Beach, Norfolk and Jacksonville, North Carolina, they're all around military mm-hmm. installations, all around Navy bases. And you know, when the ships come in, the tattoo artists were lined up ready to rock and roll. And as soon as they left, they went to, you know, the next one, you mm-hmm. know, it was just a way of life, you know, and I didn't at least really understand that until I got started hanging around my buddy Chop. And I mean, he's a veteran. A lot of artists around Fort Bragg are veterans, and seeing the, you know, the sheer amount of veteran tattoo artists and the people that came through that hit his shop when I was in there getting tattooed, it became real apparent to me that a lot of people in the military love getting tattooed. I mean, I think it's infantry is like 75% tattooed, and the Navy is like 80 to 85% tattooed. So it has at least one tattoo. So that's the highest numbers of any demographic in the world. You can't really get much higher demographics for tattooing than that. So
yeah, I believe it.
We're definitely right where, you know, we want to be for sure. So
very cool. Very cool. So then we kind of fast forward. You started the shop. You had the one right there in Fayetteville. You had Bragg kind of feeding you. You know, that makes it a little easier to stay, you know, up and running in the beginning. I'm sure there's some competition in the area, obviously. But, you know, you have to step above, you know, with your artists.
Yeah. Around Bragg, there's about 100 tattoo shops now in the area.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's not a, you know, Fayetteville is not a huge, you know, metro area. So to have that many shops, obviously, it's because of the military. So it's, yeah, there was a lot of competition. There's some really good shops in Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why we actually throw a convention in Fayetteville, right outside of Bragg. It's the All-American Tattoo Convention. We bring 300 artists from all over. And I just felt like we had a lot of talent. There's a lot of good artists there, and we needed to showcase it. And so we brought in some outside artists and some veterans, and we got some really cool, you know, veteran, organizations involved, and we give back at the end of it, but a portion of the ticket sales. So it's actually really, it's turned out pretty well. I think the way that people view Fayetteville and Fort Bragg has changed completely since, you know, the base realignment for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the convention and the kind of the spotlight on the level of tattooing in Fayetteville, it's really shown that there's a lot of good shops in Fayetteville, not just ours, a lot of good tattoo artists, not just the ones that work for ATS, that, you know, you get kind of a negative vibe around most military bases about tattoo shops before Bragg. And we definitely have those. Every shop does, every city does in America, but, to highlight the good ones and show that, educate, you know, folks to say, this is what you need to look for. You know, I think that's really definitely helped out a lot. So,
yeah. And listen, like I said, I have, you know, from my own personal experience, been taken advantage of. Hey, it was payday. There's a tattoo shop right outside the gate, and they had no problem taking my money, me pointing at a wall saying, put that on me. I got 40, 50 bucks, whatever it was going to be. And I've already had to have those things redone over the years just to, you know, brighten them up. The color was awful. They went, you know, the scarring was bad. You know, they were after my money. And listen, that's life. You know, I was 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid with, you know, 40 bucks in my pocket. Just tattoo anything. I don't even care.
So, cover me up.
Yeah. You know, but so it's really important that we get out the information to actually have good work done and sure. Know about our artists. And you guys have been selected to now be on these military installations. So before we get into the art, tell us a little bit about how you guys got selected. How did that process happen? And now how are you guys going to be that kind of, you know, standard of, hey, we're going to do a good job. We're going to take care of these people, not just take their money.
Yeah. Well, so when we started throwing the convention, we were on base. We did a lot of advertising with the MWR and, you know, different locations on there. We're on base talking to, actually an old client of mine. And he had asked, if we were going to be the tattoo shop opening at Freedom Crossing. And Freedom Crossing is a big outdoor mall. They opened at Fort Bliss. They're going to open them at other places. I said, you can't tattoo on base. It's illegal. And he said, well, I heard they're opening a tattoo shop. And I said, well, I have a 800-pound gorilla outside of base here that, you know, ATS, by this time it started growing. We're doing the convention. I said, well, let me look into it. And I reached out for months. I was reaching out, calling everybody. I was on LinkedIn, like, who can help me? You know,
I need real info. I don't need like kind of conjecture or anything like that. I need real info.
Yeah, for sure. I'm like, is this really going to happen? And, you know, so I'd like to throw my, you know, hat in the ring. And it was a few months later, we actually got, I got a message on LinkedIn and said, hey, we looked at your stuff. Can you call me? And so I called, and it was AVs out of Dallas. And they said, look, this is all the information we're going to need. We're vetting. We're looking for, you know, someone who's super professional. We've been looking at doing this for a long time. We can't find the right, you know, people, the right partners. And so we started just submitting all of our information. And it took a while for them, I guess, to get through and vet things and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And our convention happened by this time. And we got a call and said, hey, you know, we want you to come out here to Fort Bliss and look at the Freedom Crossing and see if it's something you'd be interested in doing, you know. And so I'm thinking Fort Bragg. We go out to we fly out to Bliss, we check it out, and, you know, meet with the folks at AFES, great people. And we walk around, they tell us what we're gonna do, this is how we're gonna open it, this is what you gotta do, and we're getting super excited. And then they sit down and look at me and my wife and say, these are the first five bases you're gonna open. And, you know, the first one's gonna be at Fort Bliss. And we kind of looked at each other and was like, well, you know, we're on the other side of the country. Fort Bliss, this is a long ways away. We do have, you know, a big commercial shop. And by this time we had started our Jacksonville shop was in the works and we were about to open it. And I was like, you know, I don't know that. I think I need to think about this, you know? So we walked outside and I asked, there's like a little playground area. And my wife walked over to these army wives and asked, hey, would you, if it was a tattoo shop on base, would you guys, you know, be, and she couldn't even get it out before they was like, oh, there's a tattoo shop coming to base. And they all started gathering around us. And some guys were in the cars, you know, they heard it and they walked over and said, there's a shop coming to base. And so we kind of looked at each other and we're like, we got to go back in and do this. We walked right back in and said, okay, well, you know, we're definitely, we don't need to think anymore. We're ready to, you know, rock and roll. And from that point, it took us for a little over 4 years before we finally got the call and said, you know, Nellis is going to be your first location. We have it was October of 2018. No, 2019. It was October 2019 when they called and said, we have this place to close down. It's be perfect for you. It's a hair salon, whatnot. So me and Nicole flew out and checked it out. And as soon as we landed, COVID hit. So we were actually in the meeting when the announcement came on and said everyone needs to leave base, it's not active duty. So we signed our contract really quick for that space and headed out. And as soon as COVID restrictions were able to get lifted, we went back out there, and a few months later we opened up our first studio. So after that, things kind of got crazy. When we first announced that we were opening, I got a call from about every exchange in the world asking us if we could go there and what they needed to do. And we just said, talk to AFES and figure that out. And our list grew, and now we have three open. We're at Keesler working on opening it up. It's going to take a little time in Keesler, but we have nine more in build out. So, you know, we have quite a list of studios coming forward, both on the Army and Air Force side. I hadn't been to an Air Force base before. I'd only been to Army bases in my life. So to go to Nellis was different. And then to go to MacDill in the peninsula, down in the bay, and see what, you know, how they're living down there. I was like, this is not Fort Bragg. This is not Bliss. It's a different.
They're pretty nice. It's pretty nice, man.
Well, pull my trailer on base, and these guys are in like this lush grass, and you're just tossing the football, and there's fans and everything on them, and I'm like, wow, this is not the commercial gate at Bliss for sure. So it's interesting to see how all the bases are different, but that's kind of the story. We've been in the build out mode now for September of 2020 when we actually went back out to open it up. So it's been my wife and I have visited probably 50 bases, just checking out locations and making sure it would work for us. And
It's crazy, man. That's a hell of a ride. Now, did you have to sign anything with AFES as far as like, you know, pricing or any kind of standardization across the board? Or are the artists really able to kind of run it like a normal shop? Or do you have to like give any kind of guarantees so that the veterans are, when, you know, military members are protected or something like that?
Yeah, that was a huge part of everything. I mean, I don't think a lot of people know how tattoo shops run, and the fact that our, you know, price their own work, and the shop, you know, kind of works with them to make sure that everything's, you know, right for the customer, for the client. And so what we do, we bring in, you know, hire premium artists that would normally charge $250 an hour. And we have them charging, you know, $175 at the most, in the studios or so. And then we work with them to make sure the pricing is kind of standardized. All of our artists are more premium. If you look at our accounts, you see that the work is not what you would normally, it's not your run of the mill tattoo studio. So we actually had a lot of freedom to price. They did want us to price by the piece. So when you come in to get tattooed, you know what you're paying that day.
Okay.
It's not going to surprise at the end. Okay. I'll work 3 hours extra, so now you got to pay, you know, another $450 or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
When you sign the papers or when they, you know, fill out the form on our waiver form, you know exactly what they're going to pay. That was a really big deal for them. The health safety part of it, with us logging lot numbers of every tattoo that we do for all the ink, making sure all the stuff's tracked so that if there is an issue with it, we can quickly say these are the people that got tattooed. Those things were what they were more concerned about. They were concerned about making sure that the folks were going to get really good tattoos and that they were going to be happy with them. And it was going to be, you know, safe, and that we weren't going to try to gouge. And our counter does a really good job of vetting and talking to the customers, so that way we can go to client and say, there's no guessing here. This is exactly what you're going to get. This is where you're going to put it. This is the sizing. This is about how long it should take. The artists let us know that. And then that gives us a price so we can get it in writing, and everyone agrees way beforehand. For instance, James Vaughn is an artist at our Fayetteville location. He was on Ink Masters.
Okay, I was going to say, I recognize that name.
Yeah, he's an amazing dude. And he normally charges, you know, in the $250 range or more, you know, depending on what he's doing. Huge, nice freehand pieces. And he's charging much less when he comes on base. He'll even do shop minimum tattoos. When he comes in for our openings, or he comes on, our shop minimum is usually like $80-$200, depending on where we are. He's in here doing shop minimum tattoos, infinity symbols and everything. So I think that a lot of artists that come on base are more apt to do stuff like that because they know who they're tattooing. And, that I have plenty of guys that, you know, as soon as they come on, it's the first time that they've, they've been on a military base, and they put on social media, like, man, I'm tattooing on a military base. I can't believe this is insane, you know? And so I think the artists are just, you know, they're able to put their artwork on these guys and girls, and they're just stoked about it. So, they're a lot easier to work with than, you know, the rock stars that come out and say, well, I'm $300 an hour, or $250 an hour, and I'm not charging any less. They know what they're doing, where they know where they're at. And, we have some really good artists coming through. So luckily we don't have to worry with that. But that was definitely something that AFES was, that was driving the whole, you know, let's put a studio on base type thing. The more, especially after 2015, when it became more accepted and the Army loosened its policies, and then 2017, of course, loosened theirs. And then, you know, now the Marines just loosened theirs. So everybody's kind of getting, you know, they're understanding that, you know, things change, and this is kind of how things are now. It's more accepted everywhere. Why wouldn't it be more accepted than the military? I thought that whenever they scaled back the sleeves policy for the Army. Something they said that I thought was really, perfect for this was that whether a person has a tattoo or not is not indicative of whether or not they're a good soldier. So
100%,
So I think that that's something that people are starting to understand, and AFI's, is understanding that, and they're coming to, they're coming to the plate and saying, hey, things are changing, and we feel like having a nice high-end studio here would do, good things for morale, and it would allow us to make sure that we can control it. We have unannounced monthly, health visits from the public health at every base. We have, and that's on top of our regular permitting for the artists. We have a lot more training that the artists have to come on base as far as BBP and hazmat training and certifications for first aid and whatnot. So, you don't have to worry about when you're coming on into a studio on ATS on base. Like, is this guy really permitted to be here? Can he do what he says he's going to do when he puts his tattoo on us? That's, I think that's the part of the appeal that these bases and the command is seeing, and that's why they're open to bringing us home base. So
very cool. Now, do you work with, as we kind of like look at now, like somebody actually wanting to sit down and get a tattoo at one of your places, we're feeling comfortable, we know they're trained, we know we're going to get a good price, all of that. Do you work with them at all as far as with the new regulations? I'm not that familiar with the new regulations. I'm still the old school where you ended up looking kind of like, Brad Pitt from Fight Club, because you could only get like little spots on you. You weren't allowed to have sleeves and all this stuff. Now you can, like you said, even the Air Force and Marines have even joined with the Army, to change and realize that it doesn't have anything to do with your ability to fight. Do you help at all for people to understand? Because let's be honest, 18, 19-year-old kid, hey, just throw this sleeve on me, I'm good. And then you find out they screwed up and they weren't supposed to get that.
Yeah, 100%. And I think now that the coverage isn't so much an issue, we don't have to worry. Is this going to be a tattoo that falls in regulations? Can your hand cover it? Things like that. Now we're more like, is this tattoo allowed? Is it discriminatory in any way? Mm-hmm. Is it, some of those things that you just can't do? We have posters at every one of our locations, even off base, that show every branch and what the policy is. And we actually have a person drawn up there with what areas were able to be tattooed. Mm-hmm. And so that when folks come in, they know right away. All of our counters trained in that. So it doesn't even make it to the back to be tattooed without knowing this is okay to tattoo this in this location on this person. And it used to really upset the guys at, say, Camp Lejeune, whenever Navy guys would come in and they can get their hands and knuckles done. And then you got the Marines who couldn't get anything past the elbows if it wouldn't, one per extremity covered up with their hands and all that stuff. So our counter, you're right. You're 18 or 19 years old. You're coming in and you're like, yeah, no one will really say anything. I think I'll be okay. I'll push the envelope a little bit. Our counter, even at our off base locations, it's like, nah, can't do that. We won't. You don't want to ruin your career and your livelihood and whatnot just to get a tattoo. And we ensure that everybody that comes through, if they are active, that they're not doing anything to jeopardize that. So yeah, all of our counter staff's trained on it. It's in writing. It's on the sheet. The artists see it when they take it back that I'm putting this on a forearm. I'm not putting it on a neck or whatever. And as a matter of fact, at our Army locations, part of the regulations for the Army bases is that we can't tattoo out of regulations. It doesn't matter if you're a veteran, if you're a spouse or dependent, it doesn't matter. If you're coming in, we have to stay in Army regulations if we tattoo on base. That's not the same at Air Force. If you're a veteran or you're, coming in, we can do your neck or face or whatever if you're not active. But if you're active, obviously we stay in the regulations, but we work with every single counter staff that comes in. All of our team members know what's allowed and what's not allowed. So
yeah, it's very cool. That's good. That's, again, it's very different than the way it used to be that you can get screwed up. You can say that something's okay. Then you put it on yourself and you're like, oh crap, that's actually now, like you said, bigger than the hand or whatever. You'll know ahead of time, you're in regs, you're not going to get in trouble. And you got somebody kind of checking you and going, hey, no dude, that's not going to work. Step away.
keep some honest, I don't have to worry about, at least I do worry about it, but it's not something that we're too worried about, is someone coming and getting tattooed that's out of regulations and getting in trouble. Because they take pictures of every tattoo our artists send us and show us what's going on. So we look at it and say, like, that is or is not something. And they would know, right away if they send us something that was out of regulations that they would get. And, you know, it would be a big deal. So we don't even, our guys don't even come close to it. So as a matter of fact, the artists sometimes, especially when they're new to guest spotting or working at ATS, they'll walk up front and say, hey, are you sure this is right? You know? Mm-hmm. And we're like, yeah, good. He's a, you know, he's in the Navy, or he's here for training and he's in, you know, the Marines. So we can't do that or what and whatnot. So they, you see it on the artist, but like they're scared. They don't want to do, anything to mess anybody up. So they're like, yeah, okay. If you're cool with it, if you say it's cool, then I'll do it. So
that's good. It's good to have that double check. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Now, is there any recommendations that you have, military member, veteran, whoever's going to be on base, like you said, spouse, could be a dependent, or, you know, however it works out. You know, a lot of people are on base. You even have contractors, you have, you know, employees, there's a host of people that are on base. Is there anything that you ask that people bring when they bring a design? I know, like, my wife is going through it. She's going for a tattoo, I think, here in about 3 weeks. And she's been going back and forth with the artist, sharing ideas. They've emailed each other, all this other stuff in prep for this tattoo. Do you have recommendations of what to do prior so that you're not the guy that walks in and goes, yeah, I'd like something, you know, tribal. And yeah. I got nothing. You know what I mean? So what do you recommend?
I recommend pulling as many references as you can for what you want to do. Like, you can't do too many if you brought in, you know, notebooks and stuff. But, you know, like, if you have an idea for what you want to get, style wise, color wise, location, every reference that you can bring in to show them, and trust the artist. Look at the work that they're doing and trust that they're going to put it in the right location, that they're going to, that it's going to be right with your anatomy, and that the, you know, certain colors and certain, you know, types of skin will not hold as well, will not, you know, turn out the same. And check the portfolios, check the reviews. But whenever you bring that stuff in, you know, it, know that the artist may tell you this isn't going to work. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do it this small, you can't do it this large, and trust them when they tell you that, because I've seen a lot of people that get tattoos too small and it ends up being super blobby in the end. And then you'll go to a shop and an artist will say, oh yeah, well, if he was good, he could do it, I can knock it out. And it ends up being, you know, a mess, in 6 months to a year, a couple years after the fact, especially if you're in the sun or you're suntan, you know, go to the beach spot, things like that. So, bring as much as possible and give yourself plenty of time. You know, I think a lot of people want to do it now. You get super excited and you're like, let's do it now. But good artists are usually booked up, or good studios usually have a little bit of a wait. And there's a reason for that. If you go to a studio and they're like, we're going to put our best guy on it, and he can get there today and do it today, you know, that's usually not a pretty good sign. Mm-hmm. It's a regular run of the mill tattoo. If it's anything that's you know, the infinity symbols and some of the flash off the wall, American traditional stuff that they can draw up quickly. If you start doing, you start looking at stuff that's custom and they can do it right then, large pieces and whatnot, you know, give yourself plenty of time so that way you're, you know, you know that you're going to get exactly what you want and the artist is going to give you that perfect tattoo. So,
yeah. And I think you said something as well that's very important, is check those portfolios. I know you guys put them up on the Facebook page, so you can go and see the artists at the different locations. It's really important because my wife is doing a watercolor style tattoo. So you want somebody that does watercolor style tattoos. If you go on somebody's portfolio and it's all black and whites,
yeah,
probably not the artist for you. Not saying that's a bad artist, just probably not the one for your design. You want to match up with somebody that's comfortable doing that work.
Yeah, not saying they couldn't do it, or that, you know, they might do a great job, but usually artists post what they want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they, black and gray artists, they'll post black and gray work. If they're a traditional artist, they'll post traditional work. And if it's something they want to do, they'll usually put a little time and extra effort into it to make sure that, because, you know, it's something they like to do. If you're doing something that you don't necessarily care to do, or that, you know, it doesn't really get you super excited, obviously, you know, that's might not be your best work. So if the portfolio has that style in it, like the watercolor, like you're talking about, there's a lot of guys and girls that do that work. You know, look for those artists and contact them and say, hey, is this something that you would be interested in doing? You know, don't say like, hey, when can I get in for you to do this tattoo? I mean, I guess you could say that. Doesn't really, doesn't matter either way, but you know, saying, is this something you'd be interested to do? If it's not something that is, you know, if obviously you go to a portfolio and there's nothing but watercolor, then fine. If you go to the portfolio and there's one or two, they might've just done them and threw them up there. It might not be something that they would be interested to do. And sometimes that artist will recommend somebody either in the studio or in the town and say, nah, you know, I've done some, but this style and what references you're showing me, I'd recommend you go with this person in my studio or, you know, go see this artist at this shop and whatnot. And that's going to ensure that you get the best tattoo. You know, so many times people will message us and say, hey, I've been looking at this artist. He's amazing. I want to do, and that artist might only do black and gray or might only do traditional. And they're like, and I want to get this, you know, Japanese traditional tattoo, or I want to get this black and gray realism. And the person only does traditional work. And we're like, well, why would you want this? Just because they're good at one style doesn't mean that they, you know, they might be, but it's always best to go with someone who is fluent in that style, does it a lot and can, you know, get your tattoo, exactly how you want it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, it's, again, it's getting away from that old mindset of you just have the one place out in front of base and that's where you have to go. And you're picking something off a wall and sitting down and whoever's just available at that time, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about higher end pieces that are done right. You know, even if it is something what you would consider simple, the infinity symbol, something a little bit more traditional, the patriotic stuff, you know, it doesn't mean that that same care shouldn't be put into it. So that's what we want.
Sure. I mean, like you're getting an infinity symbol, you're getting a standard name, not a super custom script piece or anything, but stuff like that, you know, then look at the portfolios, look at the work, check the reviews and the way that they respond in reviews too. There's a lot of people that don't respond or, you know, there's just a ton of reviews on there that are just, there's no verbiage. It's just five stars, whatever, you know, with the no faces on there. It's just the outline of the head and stuff. You're like, it's real, you know,
a little sketchy.
right. They're legit and they're responding and there's some dialogue between them. And then I know a lot of times we see like, hey, who would recommend a tattoo artist in this area on some of the Facebook groups and some of the other stuff. You might go through there and see that someone's posted the work or someone's told you about a studio that's in there. In the area and you know, look at some of those work, you might like it, but always keep your eyes open for the higher rated studios, the ones that, have good feedback and have good portfolios and, you know, don't have a super high turnover rate. That might be indicative of management. And then if you have an issue with your tattoo and that artist isn't there, you're not going to be able to get it fixed. They might say, go find him. You know, he's not here no more. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately it happens a lot, especially around the military bases. So, you know that if you go to a studio that has a lot of good reviews, they're probably taking care of their people, even if artist does leave, you know, so.
That's good. Yeah, it's definitely good advice. Because, yeah, if you have to go back, get something touched up or something like that, you don't want to walk in and be told, no, go away. That's the last thing you want.
You don't want to no more. Go find them. Yeah. You know, and that's not what you want. You went into a studio, you know, if you go into ATS, you expect ATS to take care of you. And a lot of times it's they remember ATS. They might not remember the artist or they remember who he was, but they're not, you know, they might be coming back to that studio because they like the studio, they like the environment, they like the atmosphere, they like the, you know, the counter staff, they like location, convenience, pricing, whatever it is. And so they to them, it doesn't matter who touches it up, you know. And then if you have a studio where they're like, well, I'm not touching it up because I didn't do it. You know, we guarantee everything that we do. There's a lot of studios, good studios that guarantee the work that comes out of their studio. And if it comes back and it's not right, they'll fix it no matter if the artist is there or not. So that's why looking at, you know, reviews and feedback and stuff is super important. So
definitely. All right. So now we got the tattoo. So we got that out of the way. We've got our design. Our artist did a great job. We're very happy. Let's talk a little bit about aftercare because, again, I'm dating myself. You know, I'm from the old school of, hey, here's some A&D ointment. That's how you take care of a tattoo. You know, or even, I mean, a lot of my buddies just threw Vaseline on it. I mean, and that was it. And that's what we were told. We didn't know any better. I know that's not right. I know that that's not what you guys recommend. You have some products on the website that you do sell and obviously in your shops as well. So tell us a little bit about proper aftercare for tattoos.
Well, there's a lot of different ways to heal a tattoo. A lot of old school guys will tell you dry healing, which is doing nothing, letting the skin fall off, or wet healing, which is covering it with Saran wrap and keeping it wet for a while. The A&D route was what I did for a long time until I started using derm products. And those derm products are a covering that covers the tattoo completely, keeps all of the contaminants out of it, and allows you to heal it with very minimal. I mean, you can take showers. You can allegedly you can swim. I wouldn't recommend it. They don't recommend it, but you know, if you did get submerged, it would be fine. And your tattoo and everything is underneath it. Nothing's trapped under it. You don't have to worry about it getting infected. When you're, especially the folks that we tattoo, when they go out in the field or they're, you know, you can't stop, you know, depending on what they're doing that day, you can't stop, you know, 5 or 6 times a day and put ointment on. So putting that derm product on ensures that they don't have to worry about, you know, stuff getting infected and getting messed up. On our website, we recommend the aftercare with After Ink, but there's a lot of good aftercare products out there, and a lot of good derm products as well. So if you come into an ATS studio, you know, we're going to put the derm on it. We're going to recommend, if you don't want to put the derm on it because you're allergic to medical grade adhesives or some of those things, and you know, we'll recommend you know, a nice lotion, something that doesn't have a whole lot of petroleum in it, and then just make sure that you're keeping it clean and washing it, and keeping your clothes getting stuck to it, and you know, going to the beach shortly after, or you know, the winter time, like right now, is actually a perfect time for getting tattooed because you're not sweating as much, you're not out in the sun, everything's covered. You know, it's actually the perfect time to get tattooed. So that derm product that I've been using it since I tried it in 2014, 2015, I guess, is the first time I tried it. And I was like, this is a game changer. Everything stays underneath it. It looks ugly because there's a lot of like plasma and ink buildup and stuff underneath it. So you can't really tell what the tattoo is, and you peel it off and boom, it's healed, you know? So, that's what we recommend. We use it at all of our shops. Like they are at our conventions, wrapping people the whole time, putting that derm on there to make sure that everyone's, keeping it clean. And that they're using non-scented, soap, because a lot of time that soap, if it's scented or it has like micro beads in it or something, you'll get a reaction out of it, which is not what you want. You want the minimal healing time. You want to heal as quick as possible. The longer that it's open, the more opportunity you have for it to be infected. So, you know, usually 7 to 10 days with a derm product and you're good to go. And you don't really have to do much to it. So that's what we recommend. Well, if you come in and you want to dry heal it, or you want to, you know, whatever you want to do, obviously I'm not going to hold you down and put a derm product on you or anything, but, that's just what we push for. And we give everybody, when they leave, we have aftercare instructions and say, this is how you take care of it. And something that's a little bit different for us is all of our studios have a 1-800 number.
Oh, very cool.
So if it's after hours and you have a question about anything, you call that 1-800 number, and one of our admin, it's like a doctor's after hours line. You know, you leave a message with the answering service and then they call us and we text or call back and let you know, like, hey, it's okay. I think a lot of people will contact us and we're like, oh, it's fine. And they're like, what do you mean it's fine? It's red or something. And we've just seen it so much that we're like, yeah, trust us, you're good. You know, it's not that we don't care, that we're not like, you know, super into, you know, your situation, but we just know that it's going to be okay because we've seen it so much, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not allergic reaction or any of those things. But if we do feel like, you know, when we look at it, that there's any type of reaction going on, or that you're, you know, infected, because I think 90-95% of all infections happen after the studio. And out of those infections, like 80% of them are due to pet dander. So, you know, when someone gets home and they see something going on, they usually call us, but come back in the next day. Even if it's not really that big of a deal, we always have them come back in the studio because it's easier for us to see it in person than it is to look at it on a email or text message, picture, video. And then we give them some more strict instructions as far as, this is what you need to do. This is what you don't need to do. But we luckily, you know, knock on wood, or, you know, stainless steel, whatever. So we don't have very many people that contact us back about our tattoos, because we do give you know, long-winded discussions after the tattoo and how to take care of it, how to clean it, and what this product is that we're putting on and why we're doing it and all that good stuff. So, you know, we take the aftercare portion of it extremely seriously. The military does too. And so we make sure that everyone knows. That's why we put that number down. So that way everyone, if you do have a question or you got an issue or whatever, you call us after hours. Doesn't matter if it's 2 a.m, someone's going to text you back. So.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, that's like I said, I've been out of it so long, I didn't know anything about that, you know, the Derm products or anything. I know that there was some different stuff that was out there. You know, I've had buddies that have gotten tattoos. I think one of the tattoo shops that did my wife recently gave her something specific. It wasn't a Derm, but it was a lotion, and she was happy with it. It was definitely something outside of what I had ever used. Our biggest thing, I remember back, they used to say, don't use bacitracin. That was all they would tell you. It was like, whatever you do, just don't use bacitracin. I was like, all right,
sure.
I won't do that.
I have coming in, like I healed it with, something that is supposed to heal the, you know, heal scars and, you know, diaper rash cream and all this stuff. And it heals great. I'm like, well, I don't understand how this healed so great, but I mean, don't do it again.
Don't take the risk again.
For the last 10, 15 years or something, but you just got lucky, you know, maybe your skin's tougher, you know, older you get, things react differently, you know? So, it's always best to not do those ones that are going to, could possibly draw the ink out or, you know, give you some sort of reaction. Prolong the healing process is not what anybody wants. So.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so we got aftercare done. We got all of this. Now let's talk about where people can go get tattooed. Let's talk about how they make appointments. And I know you have a convention coming up over there by Fort Bragg. You have it, what is it? I believe next month, right? End of next month?
Yeah. April 15th through 17th, okay. Easter weekend. So it's actually the second time we've had it on Easter weekend. We're going to have 300 artists from all over the world come tattoo live at the Crown right outside of base. We're actually going to have a tattoo contest on base in March. So be on the lookout for that too. Those tattoo contests are really cool because we bring in guest judges. We got, you know, some ink masters and some, you know, industry guys that come on and judge. And then that's separate from the contest that happened at our convention, which is a large part of our convention. We have thousands of people that get judged on their tattoos at our show. We have some really cool awards that is really metal, cool tattered American flags that people can win. You know, there's vendors, there's, you know, stuff happening on the stage at all point in times. There's a pinup contest, food truck rodeo, axe throwing. There's all kind of cool stuff happening. So outside of just getting tattooed, you can come hang all day and be around a lot of, you know, like-minded people that are into art and body art tattoos and, you know, there's good food and good atmosphere and stuff. So yeah, we have that happening in April. There's no matter where anyone's listening to this podcast, no matter where you are in the world, there is a good convention happening close to you. And there's, you know, the World Tattoo Events is a website where you can see all the tattoo events happening throughout the world. And, you know, we were put on there as one of the featured events for years and years since our first year. And you can really see just some reviews or people rate them. And you can see all the people that are coming, all the artists. Look into the artists that's coming and see what type of work they do. Some of these artists are booked out for months, years, and they come to these conventions with an open schedule to tattoo people in that area. And so you're able to get tattooed by somebody that if you were in that area, you'd have to wait a year or 2 years or whatever. There's artists that come to our shows and people travel from their hometown to get tattooed at our event just because they're booked out so far in advance there. They just would rather travel and get tattooed at a show to, you know, hopefully win an award or just, you know, experience something different.
Very cool.
And the same thing earlier when we were talking about everything that you want to bring, you're contacting these guys in advance. Make sure you got, you know, you don't want to hit them up April 10th. You know, you want to hit them up as soon as possible and try to get in and get on their schedule so that way they can get prepared and start working towards it. So.
Very cool. And then if they want to, you know, go to the website, social media, the portfolios on Facebook, where can everybody find all that stuff?
So if you go to AmericanTattooSociety.com, that's our website. You can contact us and we'll route it to whichever location that you're at or where you'll be. If you're at on our social media, American Tattoo Society, both on Instagram and Facebook and you know, some of the other ones, that is our main. It's like it shows all the work from all the locations. Mm-hmm. And then on those Instagram and Facebook pages, there's links which show every single location's Facebook pages. And we highlight the artists specifically at those locations. We highlight the tattoos that were done there, because we do have a traveling group of artists that travel just with ATS. I mean, they do other stuff too, but they do conventions and they might guest spot at other studios, but they do 2 weeks at our location. They stay at our house and we take care of them. And then when they're done, we fly them out to the next one or fly them back home. And then they come back out, you know, for another 2 weeks in another location. So, you know, if you go to any of the social media, you'll see who's coming. You'll see when they'll be there, when they're, or when they'll be back. And our counter staff knows all this stuff. So there's wait lists for certain artists at certain locations where you can get on the wait list and you can start, you know, for their next ones. If you want to come into any of our base locations or any of our locations on or off base, our counter staff is the first people that you meet with, and they basically take, I want a tattoo, and they get it down to, this is what I want. And that's when we turn it over to the artist. And but sometimes we even do the consults, you know, for the artist and turn everything over. And there's very little consulting that the artist has to do with the client. If it's the larger, more complex, more custom the piece is, then you would get contacted by the artist to just clarify or maybe ask you to come in for a consult. But you know, you can go into our, we have a shop on Nellis Air Force Base in the Exchange, at MacDill in the Exchange. We have one at Fort Bliss right beside the barbershop in Freedom Crossing. And then we're working on our next build outs on bases right now, 9 of them. They've mostly Air Force bases. We got a couple of Army bases, and then our 2 off base locations, one outside of Fort Bragg on Yadkin Road, and the other one off Lejeune Boulevard, Camp Lejeune, right outside the gates of the Tawana Terrace, I believe. I'm probably saying that wrong, but.
No, I'm not positive on the pronunciation on that area or whatever. I know there's probably one of the guys out there would probably rip us apart if I even try.
I'm sorry. But if you walk out of that studio, you can see that gate. I mean, we're right there at Lejeune. It's a great location. You can smell the ocean, but you can't go there because, you know, Lejeune's there. You got to go around. But
right.
You walk out, wow, it smells like the beach, but I'm not quite there, so.
That was very cool. Very cool. Again, Ryan, I really appreciate you coming on the show. You guys have had some amazing success, and it seems like it's only going to be growing and growing. And a big congratulations to what you guys have been able to do in a relatively short period of time when you think about just starting out and getting these just recent contracts and getting everything going. So, definitely it's awesome. I'm glad to see more higher end stuff and more artistic stuff making its way onto the military installations and around the military installations. So, again, I just want to thank you for what you're doing, and I hope everybody gets out and checks out what you guys got to offer.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I mean, we got some really great people working with us to help us to do this. It's not just Nicole and I. You know, we got Jesse and Angie and James Vaughn, all these guys that are behind the scenes, Lena and Kirsten. I mean, we got one girl that just takes, when an artist wants to go somewhere, she just takes them, books their flights, their hotels, does all their permitting and everything for them. So when they show up to a book schedule. You know, everybody that's behind the scenes working hard to make sure that all of our artists are taken care of is a reason why we're able to do what we do. And so I just appreciate everybody, all of our clientele is just amazing. And these base shops have really been accepted in ways that we were kind of like, are people going to be upset? Like, this isn't my military type situation, but that hasn't been the case. We get a few, you know, that come in and say, we actually said we're going to make a shirt that says, I never thought I'd see the day, you know, because everyone comes up and looks up and says, I never thought I'd see the day. They probably say that 50 times a day when we're in build out, you know, it says ATS coming soon. So everyone's really accepted us home base and in the military community. And we just can't, as growing up in Fort Bragg and being grandsons and daughters of you know, Army brats, and military is our life. We grew up here. So, you know, coming in and getting accepted and stuff is just really, really pretty awesome. And we hope that we can continue to provide those same high quality tattoos. And that we can continue to grow and be on every base. So that way, you know, you're going to get a high quality ATS tattoo no matter where you're stationed. So
very cool. Very cool. It looks like you're well on your way to realizing that dream, because I mean, let's just, you know, you're already in so many and now you got 9 more coming. 20 will be around the corner before you know it.
Yeah. I think we're going to try to get 5 or 6 in this year. So, you know, pray for me.
Well, you're going to need it, man. You're definitely going to need it. Well, man, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and I hope you have a great rest of the day.
Certainly. You too. Thank you guys again. I really appreciate you.
Definitely. Definitely, man. Have a good one.
You too.
I want to thank Ryan for coming on the show and talking tattoos with me, man. I had a blast talking to him. Really cool guy. Him and his wife. Like I said, his wife has got some moxie, man, to just turn around and buy a tattoo and piercing shop after working there. You know, that's how it's a ballsy move. I got to say, that's impressive. And, you know, he took his expertise from, you know, his graphic design and social media world, and they blended that together. And now you think about the success that they've had in that short period of time, talking about, you know, already being on multiple bases, hopefully being on 9 shortly, and 20 is their goal down the road here. That's just amazing. It's amazing what they've done. And plus their off-base shops there in Fayetteville. And again, I think they have one, they said, by Camp Lejeune. So, you know, they're just killing it. And, you know, he had some great advice for people that maybe are looking to get tattoos. Maybe you're out, maybe, you know, but you're just looking for a new tattoo. You know, the design stuff, the aftercare, some of that aftercare. Like I said, I'm old school, so all I was ever told, don't use bacitracin. That was all I ever heard. So, you know, some of the derm stuff and all of that, never used it. But I know there's better ways of taking care of tattoos than what we did, because most of ours got jacked up and needed to be redone. So we know we didn't do it right. And if you're going to spend a lot of money and get a quality work of art on you, you want to take care of that. So you could head over to their website. You could see the products that they have, their aftercare products and that. You can see their artists. You can actually click each location, look at the artists that are at that location, and see some of the just beautiful work that these guys have done. And if you're at one of these bases, if you're at Nellis, at Keesler soon, MacDill, you know, all of these different places that they're going to be, check them out. Also, check out that convention that they're going to have there at Fort Bragg. That looks like it's just going to be a lot of fun. They've had them, you know, previous years, and it seems like just a great event. So you can get over there and just have a blast. Maybe enter one of these tattoo competitions. You never know. You get tattooed by a world-class artist for probably half the price. So definitely a lot to look at there. So again, thank you, Ryan, for coming on the show. Thank you to everybody for all the support. Again, I apologize for being down for a couple weeks while I was dealing with the stupidity of COVID. But, you know, hey, listen, it happens. Everybody's happy and healthy, so I can't complain. We're very lucky in that regard. And I hope everybody out there is taking care of themselves. And I think that's it for this week. We're going to be back next week with another great interview. We have some really cool stuff lined up for everybody, so I hope you're excited. But for this week, and for Bulletproof Veteran Podcast, my name is Jason, and thank you for your service.